At this point, I'd been praying for a couple of months. God, kill me. I don't even want to be here. The nurse was asking the doctor, hey, man, don't you need to get your permission from the director to put him to ICU? And she goes, not in this case. He's tombstone.
Wow.
I was able for 12 years to keep going on that half a heart.
That you went through three divorces and you still had it in you to marry again. What is the difference in the man now and the man before when it comes to your union?
We actually offer a $25,000 guarantee on all of our contractors on all of their jobs. So every time they go out to a home, it's not just me and you. It's not just your word against me at my word, like it is with every other contractor out there. I have a third party that says I'm good and that backs it with money. But God, he doesn't pick favorites. He reacts to faith. And so if you're looking at your life and you're saying, I'm in a bad place, the reality of it is the only place that really needs to change is your relationship with him.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
Yo, welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a show for everyone who's willing to put in the labor to be greater, to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about someone who put in the work, we have a very, very special guest. He's not alone putting in the work in business, but he put in the work spiritually as well, with out-of-body type of experiences, from the lowest of lows financially to near-death experiences to now where he's created one of the most amazing businesses, the Good Contracting List, which have backed over $5 billion worth of projects, which is incredible. I'd like to welcome none other than Mr. John Hill. Thank you so much for joining.
Man, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you allowing me to be on your show.
Yes, sir. Even before we get started, I just want to ask you, how are you? I want to know, how are you doing today as a person?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I've got such a story to tell. And as I tell it, you'll see that God has kept every promise that he's ever given me. And so I'm in super good health. I started the carnivore diet. I don't know if you know what that is, but I just eat meat, man. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm able to exercise in the gym every day. And man, my life, I feel like it's just really getting started.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
So,
family's all good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Glad to hear that, man. It's refreshing to hear that, especially knowing some of your background, but a lot of our listeners today may not know that. So, in life, people see the end result of things and think sometimes that happened overnight. They hear me say that big $5 billion mark and just may think John was just giving everything he got. He haven't faced anything in life, you know? But we know it doesn't happen overnight. And there's things we face, and there's ups and downs, ebbs and flows. And that's what we kind of want to get in today so people can hear those stories and understand that, hey, a lot of people's in those same type of shoes or even worse. So, before we get started there, can we talk about, where you from and what was your family dynamics growing up?
I was actually adopted at birth, which is really kind of cool. Was raised in a very small town. My dad worked at a gas station. My mom babysat. So I come from a very lower income family. And because I was adopted, it wasn't like I was with people who, a lot of times it's about your bloodline and how things turn out. And so we were way different, me and my family, but they were the kindest people. They brought me to church every Sunday. They were wonderful, wonderful people. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. A lot of times, our childhood can be that foundation that can get us through a lot of different things. When I was going through some of your bio, you described being broke, hopeless, and actually praying to God to end your life in 2011. Can you walk us through your emotional space then? And what did hopelessness truly feel like right before everything changed?
Well, I'll kind of go back to my childhood a little bit on this, in that I was raised in a Pentecostal church. Anyone who understands the philosophy in the Pentecostal church is basically, if there's a mark on that book when you get there, if you haven't led the perfect life, then you don't get to go into heaven. You're going straight down, man. And so I lived my life trying to perform all the time. And the more I tried, in my life, I really felt like I was a big failure. I never really lived up to that Christian person. When I was young, I used to feel Jesus. You know, I used to feel the presence of the Spirit around me. I was an only child, and I spent a lot of time alone. So I actually prayed quite a bit when I was little. I could feel God's presence. And when I became a teenager and started really girls and everything else that come along whenever you hit that stage, and I knew the Bible, I was like, oh man, I can't stop thinking about this stuff. You know, yeah. I'm awful. I'm horrible. And then, so I always had this, perfectionist kind of thing that I needed to try my best to be the perfect person all the time. And so in 2011, I was at 42, and it was February of 2011. I just decided to give up, man. I had been divorced 3 times. Oh, wow. I couldn't keep a good job. I mean, I was praying, God, I just want you to remove me from this planet. I'm no good. I'm never going to be good for you. You know? And so that's just where I was. I was super lost. And during the Super Bowl in 2011, out in Dallas, Fort Worth, it was a big freeze hit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I started coughing. I was actually outside and I was living with my girlfriend at the time outside smoking a cigarette. And I started coughing up blood, and I was like, what is this, man? I must have, you know, this, I got to stop smoking. You know, what is this? And we ended up going to the hospital. And, you know, at this point I'd been praying for a couple of months, God, kill me. I don't even want to be here. And, so here I go into the hospital. They said, maybe it's pneumonia, cause I had like fluid in my lungs. So they had my family go home, and later that night, it just wasn't getting any better. And they're like, there's something else here. So they did some more testing. And they found out, no, this is your heart, man. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, they asked me to call my family to come back up to the hospital. And so I was like, nah, man, it's too risky. Please don't make them come up here. Go, no, go ahead and call them. We're going to be taking you to ICU to do some more tests. And they were trying to be as calm as they could be. But then I overheard a conversation that was going on out in the hallway. And they said, the nurse was asking the doctor, hey, man, don't you need to get your permission from the director to put him to ICU? And she goes, not in this case, he's tombstone.
Wow.
And I was just like, it just all hit me, you know, and I was like, they had put oxygen on me at that time. I was like, well, you know what? If this is dying, it's not that bad. I'm probably just going to pass out and I'll never even know what happened. Mm. You know, and so I got a chance. I was like, this is my chance, man. Think about this. Growing up, it's like, because you had such fear of God, I was at that point where it's like, you know, I could be like the thief on the cross right now. I can repent right now, and there's no way I'm going to sin again. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I was like, man, I'm going to slide right on into heaven. You know, this is great. And so as they were willing me to ICU, all I can say is it wasn't audible, but it was loud and kind of out of place. But God just kind of came to me and he said, well, John, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And I felt the levity of that question. Like, no, whatever I decide, he's going to give me.
Right.
And so I kept thinking about where I was in life. You know, I didn't really have many friends. I have 2 girls that's going to miss me. But up to that point, I didn't feel like I'd done any good to the world that I would be remembered, mm-hmm. You know? And so what I felt in my spirit going into that place of into the ICU was that God was saying, if you decide to stay, I'll be with you and I'll give you a purpose.
Right.
And so when that happened, I really got serious about what I was thinking. And so I came back to God and I said, listen, this is what I'm asking for. If I stay, I don't want to be the same person.
Right.
I actually had 3 things that I came up with. I want to be remembered for doing something good. I want to live every day, not just be alive. And I want to touch as many people as I can while I'm on this planet.
Right.
And it took about an hour for the cardiologist to get there to even do the tests. And everybody was kind of behind that glass. You know, you've seen it in the movies where people are watching through the glass to see what's going on. And I'm waiting, you know, for the cardiologist to come in. He finally comes in. And whenever I said, this is what I want, I felt even louder voice from God say, so be it. Mm-hmm. So when the cardiologist got there, he ran the test. He pumped the dye through my heart. I had 100% blockage in one artery and 95% blockage in the other. And he's like, I don't even know how you're still here. And I don't know if I can fix this with stents or how, you know, I may have to crack you open is what he said. Wow. And they didn't put me under. I'm awake for this whole thing. And so he goes in there and puts in the stents. Blood returns to my body and it's pumping again. Everybody's screaming and clapping behind the glass. They're like, oh, I can't believe this. You know, it's like they couldn't believe that I lived. But I knew leaving that hospital that even though nothing had changed, I was still broke. I was still, you know, I was still living with my girlfriend. I was still in this position. Like nothing in my life had changed, but I changed inside. The only thing I left there with that hospital, knowing that God was going to be with me and that I had a purpose. I had no idea what that looked like.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I left the hospital with congestive heart failure and they had to put a pacemaker in because my heart was extremely damaged. About 50% of it was scar tissue. And so I left there not only broke, but now I'm broken, you know, body wise. Right. And so I immediately, me and now my wife, my girlfriend at the time, we got married. I was like, I just want to follow God. I don't care if I know all the answers because I know that he loves me because he came to me. He spoke to me. He said he'd be with me. So I trust him now, right. You know, so I said, I'm going to forget everything I know about God or everything I've learned through my childhood or anything anybody's ever said about God. And I'm just going to listen to him. You know, it's like, I'm going to go to the source. I'm not going to worry about all this other stuff. He's going to show me what I need to do. And, you know, it's not about me anymore.
Right.
And about 6 months later, all I can say, it was kind of like a download. I had no money, no job experience. You know, I sold Yellow Pages, you know, those ads back then. You might be too young to even remember.
I remember Yellow Pages, the phone book and all that stuff. Yep.
But yeah, so I was selling Yellow Pages and that's kind of what my background was. So I never really had any kind of business experience at all. All I knew is that God gave me this idea that I was going to separate the good guys from the bad guys.
Right.
And it was because I'd sold Yellow Pages that I figured out that anybody can pose as anything, you know, in advertising, anybody can pose, but there's nobody taking responsibility between what's being aired, you know, what's being printed and that contractor. And absolutely. So I said, I want to be the guy that separates the good guys from the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how it was going to happen, but yeah, that's how it was born. That's how the good contractors was born.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now, before I get directly into the good contractors list, I want to ask you, cause I know when you heard that, not per se voice, but that presence asking you, do you want to stay or not? How can you differentiate the two, like feeling that presence of God and that other voice that was telling you before you got to that point, hey, you're not worth anything. You haven't brought any good in this world. Like, what is the difference in those feelings?
Well, honestly, I knew God when I was young. He's been speaking to me all along. And it's like you the voice of the world gets so loud sometimes, you know, your own inner voice gets so loud sometimes. So I don't even think the devil was speaking to me. It's
like
somewhere
self-consciousness
I got.
Or confidence or. What do you think it stems from?
I think a little bit of everything. It's just your surroundings. And, you know, I mean, I was bullied as a kid, made me feel like I was no good.
Right.
You know, and so, but that voice is clear as a bell when you listen.
Yes.
And he's not going to be condemning you. There's no condemnation. He's not going to be condemning you. He's going to continue to say, I'm right here beside you.
Right.
All you have to do is turn to me and I'm there.
Absolutely.
And so that's that, you know, so the voice that says you're no good, the voice that says you can't do that, you have no purpose, that's either wired in you from somebody else saying it or it is a spiritual attack on you.
Yeah.
But you can tell by it, if it gives you peace, it's God.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Now, also something that you revealed that you went through three divorces and you still had it in you to marry again. I want to ask you, what do you think your current wife sees in you, or the difference in the man that you are after you had that divine moment in that hospital and that voice and that presence come to you? What is the difference in the man now and the man before when it comes to your union?
That's a really good question. And I've had that conversation with my wife, and she goes, John, since I met you, I always thought you were a God man. Like, that's how she explained it. Cause she wasn't raised in church. Mm-hmm. And so even in, when I thought I was being the worst example, she saw me as something different. And so she goes, from the very beginning, I knew you were a good man. I knew that you had some kind of relationship with God that I didn't understand. Right. And I'm still the same person. I'm just at a better understanding of who I am in Christ now. Right. You know, and so it's funny that she saw it in not being a Christian, not, you know, where she, yeah, she's a Christian now, but not being a Christian then, saw something in me that I didn't see in myself.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a very good testimony and also message to people to understand that, hey, your past doesn't define you. It can actually just be a strong foundation to catapult you to who you supposed to be, that purpose where you belong, that purpose that you were brought to. Because a lot of times they tell us, like, once we pass a certain age, you're going to be who you are. Now, what will you say to people that were believing that message, that maybe even in your same age realm, in my age realm, because I'm 39 now, and people have told me things leading up to this age in the same way?
Yeah. Well, it's all wrapped up in one word, identity. Mm. And we all have an idea of what our identity is. Okay. So, you know, I might be proud that I'm a great father, or I might be proud that I'm a great businessman, or, you know, that I'm related to a particular political party, or whatever you want to try to say that's in the world, whatever those things are. Those identities don't really matter. And the more that you count on looking at those identities, the more disappointed you're going to get.
Right.
Because when we come to Jesus, it's no longer we that live, right? I mean, we heard these scriptures, and I finally understand what this looks like. The more I try to identify with the things that make me proud, the more disappointed I get in my life. But what I do know is that my identity now is I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's him who lives in me. And then every day, no matter how that day looks, I truly believe that I was bought with a price, and that my identity resides in who he says I am, not in what I say I am. And some days I don't feel so great about myself, and I can have some talk that I'm like, why am I even saying that? That's a curse. Let's get that off me, right?
Right.
God has made me this way, and I'm going where he's taking me, because he bought me, he owns me, and he's taking me to where I need to be. And that is to the purpose he left me here for.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking on that purpose, it started from a point where you were speaking with God. You made three simple, profound requests: to be remembered for good, to truly live and touch as many lives as possible. Which of those three requests was the hardest to start?
Well, I mean, obviously you have to kind of live a life full of good in order to be remembered for good. Mm. And so, you know, I still spend every day making sure that that's how I go to bed at night. Did I do good today? Did I make the right choices today? Have I done anything that would offend somebody or make somebody feel less than? You know, have I encouraged? Have I inspired? And so it's a consistent thing. I won't be remembered for doing something good until it's gone, until I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
This is a cool story, because I did not plan this. When I started the Good Contractors List, I was trying to put together a logo and see what it looked like. And I'm not a professional at any of this stuff. And it created a weird looking thing, because that's a long name, the Good Contractors List, you know, and trying to balance that in a logo. So I ended up settling on the word good and contractors as my logo. And the word good, in one of the previous iterations of that logo, I used a halo to fill in a space. So whenever I made it the final, it was Good Contractors with a halo over the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was just kind of contemplating life, and I was looking at my logo, and I felt like God said, "Do you remember what you asked of me?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, I went through those three things." And I realized that if the good contractors list does become a nationally known thing, then I will actually be remembered for the word good with a halo over it. It was like God's mark saying, I planned this far before you ever knew it. And so he continues to do things like that to make it known that I'm on the right path.
It kind of feels like to me when you say the good contractors list, it feels like kind of the Kelley Blue Book for contractors. Is that?
Well, you know, probably another really big step of faith is I decided to do something that didn't exist at all. So there's lots of contractor lists out there. Home Advisors, a lot of places you can find contractors, but what none of them were doing was taking responsibility. So I was telling these contractors, I am going to put money on every one of your jobs. If you're on this list, I'm going to be willing to bet my revenue. And I didn't even know what revenue was at that time. I didn't have any money, but that's what I saw, is that I'm going to guarantee the work of every one of these contractors. So no homeowner ever gets ripped off. And if I pick the wrong guy, I'm paying for it. Right. And so to step in the middle like that, we actually offer a $25,000 guarantee on all of our contractors on all of their jobs. It doesn't have to come from us. So every time they go out to a home, they're telling homeowners, it's not just me. It's not just me and you. It's not just your word against me at my word, like it is with every other contractor out there. I have a third party that says I'm good and that backs it with money.
Right.
And so it completely changes how you hire a contractor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for sure. And now we're going nationwide. So we're trying to create safe contractor communities in every community.
Yes.
That's what really, I think, really sets us apart, is that this is not an advertising space. This is not a lead gen deal. This is good contractors coming together saying, we vow to do the right thing.
Wow.
And they network together. They just make sure that this list stays pure, as well as homeowners. Because imagine this, I've been on TV and radio here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with that good with a halo over it, saying these are good contractors, and I guarantee their work. Believe me, people don't like it when people do something good. They want to find everything they can find wrong with it, and they want to destroy it. And so 14 years later, we're still here. And people appreciate what we have to offer, and they see the genuineness in it. They see that it's not about taking money from every contractor willing to pay us. It's about us protecting the homeowner, really protecting them.
Right.
And I happily can say that we've backed over $5 billion worth of work, and out of pocket to date so far, we've been out $127,000 in 14 years. Wow. So, our process is proven now, and we're the only ones doing that.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I think it's something that is needed nationwide. We definitely need it in North Carolina, because let me tell you about a situation that I had with my home. And I kind of want to ask you, what would have been the difference if I went with a contractor that's, you know, in your network?
Oh, yeah, please.
So we had a hailstorm recently. Mm-hmm. So after a hailstorm, I don't know what type of meteorologist system that these contractors have, but I mean, we had so many different ones coming in the neighborhood, man. Right? I mean, one day after the hailstorm, and you know, a lot of people pitch into us and things like that. Yeah. But you know, we finally chose one, and we had them, you know, come out, give us the estimate, and you know, go back and forth with the insurance, all that good stuff, but. Anyway, when we finally got down to it, we paid a deposit, half, and the people still to this day haven't showed up to do the job. And it's been at least 4 months. He keeps stringing me along with text messages. He started contacting me saying, hey, Now I'm in this battle with a divorce, my wife, so I don't have the funds to do this. I don't have to do that. He just keep putting me off. and I haven't got a refund of my money yet, and they still haven't came. They supposed to come do the job today, and I still haven't heard from them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Man, that's the risk you're always facing, and especially after a storm, because you feel vulnerable. You're like, man, I got to get this thing done.
Right.
Time on this, and I just need a roofer. And so when those guys hit your houses, and a lot of them will bring blue tarps or whatever so that they can put it on your roof, and they use that as leverage to get the job, right? And so it's really hard. You're going to have to do your own research. Like, you have to see how long that person's been in business. Now, we've got FBI level software to make sure that they didn't close down a business and start a new one and all the other things that could possibly happen. There's so much chaos out there in this world. Roofing has the worst reputation of all because of those storm chasers. Wow. A lot of those guys aren't even from around here. You know, and then there's the guys that go, oh man, we just had a hailstorm. I go to Kinko's, or I don't even know if Kinko's is around anymore. Go somewhere and get a magnet, put it on their truck, and now they're a roofer.
Right.
You know, and so it's crazy what can happen. And so giving money up front and all that stuff, usually that's through the insurance company. Now, with one of our, if you went to our list and found somebody, well, you wouldn't find that guy there. I mean, because we do all the research to make sure that they're the right guys and that they have a reputation of quality and all the stuff. And then we go deeper and look at all their background. So, you wouldn't find that guy, but if one of those guys did have a divorce and lost it, and because this actually happened with a window company,
okay,
went overseas and left 3 or 4 window jobs. Well, he took some money from those people, deposits. We were able to bring in contractors, and this is what we'd do in that particular case. We'd bring another contractor in there, and we would be paying that contractor what you paid the other contractor. I mean, if it was one of our guys.
Okay.
So you would never be out the money. And then all you'd have to do is pay the final payment when the job was done.
Right.
So,
okay.
No, we act as the voice of truth, but sometimes there's people, homeowners, that take advantage of contractors too. So we like being in the middle. And a lot of the, I mean, I can tell you that 99% of the problems that people have with contractors is just birthed out of fear because of stories like yours.
Yeah.
That guy came, took my money, never showed up. I've been trying to get him out here. I might actually deliver.
Right.
He just got into a little dip there, and now he's trying to catch up.
Right.
Give him a chance to catch up, because you really don't have a leg to stand on, hardly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you'd have to sue the guy. The worst thing you could do is go try to find his Google and write a bad review. There's nothing homeowners can do. And that's one of the reasons why we exist. And in your town, if you know contractors who you already know are good, man, go to the website, thegoodcontractorslist.com, and go to refer a contractor. Because what we're trying to do, I call it collective authority marketing.
Okay.
A collective authority is where everybody in the group, because we're one overseeing entity, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone in the group, in their community, needs to be a participant in this. I consider this more of a movement than I do a business, because we don't charge very much for a contractor to be a part of this. One job could wipe out a year's worth of them paying a monthly payment, but we do have to have some so that we can continue to grow. But to be a contractor on here, it's $500 setup fee and $250 a month to be backed by that $25,000 guarantee. So we don't ask a big amount, and we don't want them to have to take it out on their customers that they're having to pay such an exorbitant rate for something.
Right.
But in their communities, if they start coming together, the roofer, he knows the plumber in town that you can trust, and the plumber knows an air conditioning guy. And so all those guys come together and say, we're going to join the good contractors list. They're going to come here. And then they use the tools that we give them to now get homeowners to register. And as soon as the word starts spreading and homeowners start going to the good contractors list, they've actually built a lead platform for themselves that would trump any of the garbage that they get from all these other things. But it takes the work of everybody to protect everybody. So I call it collective authority marketing. And because it's not traditional, I'm going to be out there on the radio and, you know, and a lot of that stuff looks like gimmicks. But when you have a bunch of good guys saying, I wouldn't use a contractor if they're not on this list.
Right.
It spreads pretty quick.
Absolutely.
You know, on the Nextdoor apps, it's like, no, hey, we're part of an organization called the Good Contractors List. Go here.
Yes.
And so next thing you know, this collective, their authority grows in a market. And so that's what we're looking for. Contractors that can that will do the right thing every single time. We don't want the super big guys that, and we don't want the guys that can't afford insurance. We want the what I call the honest guys in the middle. And that's Absolutely. What we aim for.
Yeah. And it feels like 360 protection because you have those assurances on the homeowner and you have insurances on the contractors. Now I got a great idea about how this is really good for homeowners. You talked about how homeowners take advantage of contractors as well. So let's speak to the contractors out there to how they get protection from how homeowners may take advantage of them.
Yep. Well, like I said, a lot of the problems, like there's probably, there who knows how many contractors that have been labeled bad and they weren't bad. Homeowners can get crazy, man. And I'll tell you why, because nobody likes to be made a fool of. Nobody wants to feel like they were taken advantage of. Right now, you could be so angry because of this 4 months. And this guy may actually come in and finish this job, right? That's kind of an extreme situation. But homeowners will take one little incident that happens. And let me tell you, there's a lot of potential incidents that can happen when you're talking about construction.
Right.
You know, someone's family member dies. And so the electrician can't make it out on the day that you wanted it to,
you know,
to make it to the next level. Cause there's balancing that happens in contracting. And so the first sign of any kind of thing going wrong, they're automatically saying that, oh man, that guy's a bad guy. Wow. Oh, he's going to take a bit. My friends are all going to be laughing at, and then I'm going to kick him out right now. And so there's some that'll go in, cuss out a contractor. And if you're a contractor listening, you probably have experienced homeowners who just got out of whack over something that was easy to explain. But that's what happens. And what happens 99% of the time when we get involved and we get involved in every situation, they'll come to us and go, hey, man, this guy was bad. You know, no, he's been on our list for 3 years. We've been working with him. We know he's going to do what he's supposed to. Just let him get to the end, you know? And so we actually just kind of hold the hand and say, things are going to happen because this is real world, man. This is real world. Anything can happen. There's no perfection out there, period. So just stick with it. You'll get to the end of this job. You'll love this job. Or we'll even come out to your house. And that's what, and we've done that a few times where we've had to go out to the house to look, but 99% of it is once that fear is relieved, the contractor can get done with their job. And so it's very rare that you find the homeowner that's actually trying to actually commit some kind of fraud on a contractor, but I'd say 99%, but there are the one percenters that we will actually go out, look at that job and go, this is great. What problem do you have?
Right. Yes.
And in those, it's usually the job's 95% done and we've got a punch list and that person's like, man, I don't want to let go of that money. So I'm going to make up stuff that's wrong and keep this guy going. And if you don't let it, this is so bad and I'm so unhappy that you shouldn't pay me. I shouldn't have to pay you. So then instead of the contractor looking bad, they come to us and go, hey man, I need you involved. And we'll get involved. And every single time we've done this, it's worked to say, listen, we're going to come out and look at this. And if we find that there's nothing wrong, they're probably going to put a lien on your home. You won't be able to sell it. You won't, you know, right. And they hear it from a third party saying, you don't want to play this game of, you know, so if you really think it's not good, we'll come out. They pay that person. Yeah. They let them finish. They Absolutely. Pay it. And they're like, okay, I got caught.
Yeah.
So yeah, that voice of truth matters.
Absolutely. So much. Now, pivoting a little bit, I did want to also talk about the part where you had the heart transplant. We didn't really get into that part? I believe that was in 2022. How did it get to that point? Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, man. So I was able for 12 years to keep going on that half a heart. It was pretty, it was so damaged. But I did everything I could to just keep moving forward. And we're talking about having to work at about a quarter of a heart. I was working at about a quarter percent of what a full heart should be working on. And so powered by God, that's all I can say is right. I was powered by the Holy Spirit every single day to go where I needed to go and do what I needed to do. But in July of, well, it's a little bit before this, in 22, I ended up getting the flu, and for the first time I went into a rhythm in my heart that should have killed me, but fortunately I had the defibrillator on me. And I, when I woke up, I was like, oh man, something just happened. I'd been shocked several times because I did stuff I wasn't supposed to do, right. You know, get my heart rate up too high, you know, but, yeah. But in this case it was something else. And so my cardiologist had been saying, John, I think you're going to drop dead straight up. Cause you don't stop.
Right.
He's like, I don't know how you're doing this on this percentage of heart. You should be in bed all the time. And I was like, no, I'm going to keep going. And so the flu, this one incident said, that's all I've needed for years. That's all I've needed. I'm putting you on the heart transplant list. And 22 days later, I got a transplant.
Wow.
In Dallas. Yeah, it was, and it's changed my life. I've got a lot of energy now. I'm in the gym. I can do anything anybody else can do.
Wow.
And it's pretty crazy. I think the most interesting part of this is, you know, I told you God likes to make things clear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet the donor family, and which was really, it was probably the most emotional thing I ever did, was I got to meet the donor family. Mm-hmm. And they were so gracious, and just fell in love right away. I love this family.
Yeah.
And their last name is Wachal, W-A-C-H-A-L, which means watchman. Now, I've heard people called watchmen before, that watchman on the wall, you know, you hear about it especially in Pentecostal kind of charismatic.
Right.
You know, there's the watchman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their son, who died of a brain aneurysm, his name was Christian Wachal.
Wow.
So I literally have the heart of a Christian watchman. You know, I mean, it's like God says, no, I've put you here for this purpose and this time. And he makes it so clear that I am following him. And I can't say that I'm the typical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the guy that is on his knees for hours a day or reading the Bible every day. You know, it's like I am so sure of my Savior and my faith in his righteousness, not mine,
right.
His righteousness in me, that I don't have to perform anymore. And if anything looks like performance, I back away from it, man. I am about following his voice, because the word of God lives on the inside of me, and he can instruct me, you know? And so a lot of times the Bible becomes, it jumps out at you whenever and it helps you along. But if you don't have faith in Jesus, if you have faith in your ability to read the Bible every day and you're being on your knees every day and doing all the things to perform, and here's, I checked off all these things, I'm a really good Christian. If that's what you're dependent on, you're dependent on an identity that doesn't come from him. That's performance identity.
Right.
Faith in the one that actually has righteousness, because there's none of us that do.
Right.
The only righteousness we really have is him, and we have to die to let his righteousness live through us.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times people try to put on those shows for man, you know, that checklist for their peers, and not really put in that work for the right reasons, you know, coming from a place of righteousness. So I definitely feel like I've witnessed those type of things and those type of individuals. And you kind of feel the difference. From them, you know, I think you've been given so many signs, and I think it's important for so many people to hear your story so they can be inspired by it and understand it. God is real. God loves you. You just got to listen and feel it, you know, and follow those instructions, because I think we all get those instructions, but sometimes we'll push it to the side and let something else steer us in a different direction.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
You can't trust yourself. You really cannot put your faith in man and even yourself. Mm. It's gotta be in him. And your purpose has to be to let him do what he needs to do in you. And you can't, it's not up to you to say you're no good. Right. That's not right for you to do that. That's pride. Like, you can't say you're no good. He said you're good. He says you're good because you are the righteousness of God. Like, because of him, his righteousness.
Yes.
You know, so you can't, I mean, I'm preaching to myself right now because I do that every once in a while. I'll just sit there and go, dadgum, I'm so dumb. I'm so stupid.
I do that too.
You know, and that's that. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, mistakes happen, but no, you're not. You yeah. are good. You are righteous.
Absolutely. My wife tells me all the time I beat myself up too much over simple things. But I'm like, yo, I know I can do better than this. I don't know how I messed up on this. That's so dumb. And she's like, you just got to relax. Stop beating yourself up. You see what your error was. Just go ahead and fix it. You don't got to punish yourself for it, you know? And I think that's
getting in that pattern for sure.
Yes, yes. It's easy to punish ourselves because we expect so much out of ourselves. But, you know, nobody's perfect. It's not about perfection. It's about progression.
That's right.
One thing that I did notice that you said you wanted to truly live, not just be alive. You know, can you tell us what's your distinction between just being alive and truly living out your God-given purpose?
I don't know anyone who probably doesn't relate to this. Man, there's just times you're just existing. You know, it's like you're trudging along. There's nothing that excites you. There's nothing that you really feel that you can look forward to. And I think that's where I was, is that I didn't really feel like I was living. You know, I couldn't even appreciate the good things that was happening to me, because you get so into that. My future looked so bad. My past was so awful that you can't live in the now, that you can't be here right now going, every day can get better.
Yes.
Every day it has a purpose, you know. And when I left that hospital, that was the only thing I left there with that changed everything, was that I realized I was still here for a purpose. And I can tell every one of you listening that God has you here for a purpose. And when you start saying, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take me to my purpose, man, you're going to see the change that could happen to you, because it wasn't up with these brilliant ideas. It's like, how does a guy like that start a business at all?
Right.
I was just following what the Lord was putting in my heart to do. I people sometimes will ask, go, hey man, are you some kind of preacher? Are you a pastor or something? And I'm like, no, I'm really a lot more like Forrest Gump than I am Billy Graham. Yeah. You know, I'm that Forrest Gump character. I used to just say that all the time. I'm just gumping it, man. Wow. Whatever the day
That's
brings
a t-shirt.
Me. Yeah, no, yeah. I actually went to the Urban Dictionary and added it to it because I was like, man, this needs to be a phrase. I'm gumping it, man.
Yeah.
It means that I'm following my heart. And because I'm going where I'm going and doing the things I'm doing, God is touching lives behind me. You know, like that's the story of Forrest Gump, is that he didn't have a clue what he was doing. Right. You know, he didn't really understand how rich he was. He didn't really understand running, you know, and so he ran. And then he, you know, it's just like all these things that you just follow your heart, and God's going to lead you in the right way.
Yes.
If there's something saying you're no good, that's not God. So just realize today that God made you to be good. God made you to have a purpose. And if you turn to him, he's going to show you what that looks like.
Absolutely. Now, it's another question I want to ask you when it comes to purpose and, you know, God getting you, helping you get to your purpose. A lot of people tend to back away from purpose because it comes with pressure in their mind. They feel like if I follow this voice that's telling me to go to my purpose, I know I'm going to have to do a lot. That's a lot of pressure. And I don't want to fold under that pressure when it comes with my purpose.
Yeah.
What would you say to individuals that experience that right now?
stop thinking about the future. I mean, that's where the fear comes in, is because you're trying to figure out what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. Know that God knows your purpose. And so what you're doing right now today is part of your purpose. If it was experiencing something negative, something bad. And so a lot of people who make some of the biggest impact on people have gone through the fire themselves. God took them through that fire. You know, he brought them out, and now they're being used. So it's cliche, but you can't have a testimony without a test. And so when we walk through life and we have that full faith, because it's not faith in your ability to do the right things. It's your faith in God to be able to take you where he needs you to take you. Faith in God to do the things, because it's no longer me that lives. It's him. He's the one powering this body. So if I'm fighting against it, if I'm trying to think of it on my own, I'm going to have pressure. But if I go, you know what? If whatever that purpose is, it may not even be what you think it is. You may be a great singer and you think my purpose is to sing here. I don't know how I'm going to be a better singer than all those guys, but you don't even know. Your purpose might be to help unwed mothers, or, you know, like, it could be so many things that God really had you purpose for, but you're too in your head.
Right.
Get out of your head. And it's just too simple on a big scale to think that way. But God brought me here, man. The Good Contractors List doesn't exist. Hadn't been around this long because I was smart. Right. It wasn't because I went to school. And the more you realize how little you have to offer and how much he has to take, my weakness, his strength, right?
Right.
It's his strength. And so get out of your head. If you're battling with, I can't, you know, I don't see how this is all going to work out, go to him and say, I need you to be in control here. And put your faith in him, not in what you think you need.
Yeah.
Because he knows.
Yeah, absolutely. Close to my final question, I want to ask you, because I feel like the man you were, you know, prior to these experiences, when you were telling yourself or were asking God to basically kill you, you were feeling that you weren't deserving of the things that you have acquired at this point in life. And a lot of people feel like they don't deserve something. So they'll either get to the point where they ask God to take their life or end up taking their life themselves because they don't feel like they deserve it based on their past. Anything you would have to say to those people or anyone that maybe feel that way coming from the place of feeling not deserving?
Man, that's so good. Cause we all, and again, that's when you're looking at your own identity. So if the Good Contractors List just crashes and burns tomorrow and I'm going down a different path, and I could go, look, man, God doesn't have favor on me anymore. He doesn't like me anymore. I could go down that path, but from where I'm at, I was ready to die then. So anything that I accumulate on this earth, fame, fortune, whatever, it has zero meaning to what my purpose is. And I understand that because it's where he wants to go. He's the kingdom of God, you know? And so if that's where it goes, I have to trust that God's taking me somewhere else where I'm going to touch more lives. That's what he promised me. Now, there are people who feel like I don't deserve this. No, none of us deserve any of it. We're sinful creatures. You know, there's not one who deserves it. But God, he doesn't pick favorites. He reacts to faith. And so if you're looking at your life and you're saying, I'm in a bad place, the reality of it is the only place that really needs to change is your relationship with him. Think about that. I remember laying in my bed before any of this stuff happened. And I was staring at the ceiling and I was looking at the walls, and it just came to me, my joy, my peace, my long suffering, all the abilities that I have comes from his spirit, not my situation that's around me, right? So rich, poor, whatever, I know I have a purpose, and I know God loves me, and I know he's going to take me where I need to go. And the more we grab onto that, you'd be amazed at where he's going to take you, because yes, it's a journey and it's fun. I can tell you I've had more fun since I just let go and said, I'm not performing anymore. I'm just listening to you. I'm just going to go where you show me. And he makes the path clear.
Yes.
So that's my talk on that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And this, I feel like this, this is not going to be just beneficial to my listeners. This has been very beneficial to me as well, because, you know, in my journey, I haven't been the one of those guys that felt like I'm not deserving. I come from very small beginnings, but I always felt like I was out of place there, and I felt like I should be somewhere else. I felt like I deserved more, so I always worked very hard to try to get to where I want to be, but I felt like I always got close to something and something always failed. It keep always failing. I always get on the cusp of something and it never works out. And I feel like I feel like I got a purpose, but I feel like I deserve it, but I'm not crossing that path to get to that finish line. I get so close and stumble.
And let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
If you got it, what would it do to you? Yeah. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. I reached that goal. And I really felt like I deserved to get there, and I got it. I got it. Now mm-hmm. what?
Right.
Okay. Well, either I deserve where I'm at right now. Right. I mean, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
If I continually think that I deserve something more, I deserve. Ah. I put my work in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll never get there, brother. I'm telling you, you'll get to one and it'll be like, I think I should deserve something more than this. Man, look at all these people looking at me. Mm-hmm. Look at all these people looking at my podcast.
Right.
You know, I should be on a national TV right now. And if you don't make it to national TV, what are you? Disappointed the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a way to live. God doesn't want you to live disappointed. He doesn't want you to live defeated.
Right.
He wants you to live in the moment. He wants you to take every moment that you have and be thankful and grateful. And like, even in the worst parts, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
I know that you've got a plan for me. And this is part of it because it's in my life. I know I have faith in you.
Yeah.
And even those things that you thought were going to be the thing that tore you down, that made you feel bad. I don't live for that, man. For me today. And so I'm going to do well what he has for me right now.
Right.
And I'm going to make the right decisions here. And if I end up there, great. If I end up over there, great.
Right.
Because I'm happy in the space I'm in.
Yes. That's so true. It is so true. And what stuck out to me was when you said that, you know, it wasn't your situation. It was like your relationship with God, you know, and that's basically what you're saying there. And I want, because even like people, they'll compliment me. Someone will call me like, hey, man, I see what you're doing. That's great. And out in my mind, I'm thinking, this is nowhere near where I want to be. So I don't even accept what they're saying. Yeah. You know, it's, I feel like I can do so much more, so much better. You know, and I start beating myself up again. Like, okay, this person's saying this, but I know I should be doing better. But that's not the mindset to have. Right. And I don't think God wants me to feel like that, just like you're saying as well.
Well, think about that. If this is a gift, it's a gift for someone to come to you and go, man, dude, you inspired me. I thought you were, it's so cool that you're doing that. And I'm not, you know, that was a gift. Yeah. And you just poo-pooed on it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're just like, no, that's, you're not good enough. You're vocally telling me this. You need to just say, thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart that you appreciate what I'm doing and that you see something good in me, man, because I need that encouragement. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you say that, that's you received something then. And watch, your mindset is that I love being thankful for what I have right now. You would be surprised at how much stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of things that have come into my life. Living in the like a old neighborhood, drug people down the street, you know, mm-hmm. we were barely making it on payday loans. I live a lot different life right now.
Yeah.
But if I'm happy in my space in either one of them, and it, only because of what he's showed me over the years, this does not own me. This right. place doesn't own me.
Yes.
You know, my car doesn't own me.
Yes.
Anything that I'm able to do now, I can only give credit to God for. And so living in that space, if it goes away, it's just stuff.
Right.
You know, right. Be thankful for the good things. And when someone comes to you and gives you a compliment, I've learned to just go, thank you. It really moves me that you felt inspired.
Absolutely.
You
know? Absolutely.
And that's a truth. And so they feel good. And then they can go on and then you just become more of an inspiration. Right. And I think that you have that platform. You have that platform to inspire.
Right.
And so be that guy.
Yes, sir. I definitely will. And I appreciate that message. And I'm going to become more mindful of it and just be thankful, because I am thankful, quite honestly, but I got to stop putting that, I don't know if it's pressure or, you know, beating myself up, overthinking it and just not looking at it and just living in this space, be appreciative of it and continue to do what I feel like my purpose is anyway, because I do feel like this is my purpose and I want to continue to spread messages like yours. I want to continue to inspire people and it doesn't matter the amount, you know, if you... Yeah. I got to look at it and be thankful. Like, hey, I inspired someone. And these conversations inspire me. I continue to get filled as I try to feel others. And I appreciate that and your message. So, you know, how can people find your business and, you know, become part of that list? Can you give us like your website, any details? Sure.
Yeah, and it proves that I didn't know what I was doing when I first started. So I got a domain name that's this long. It's thegoodcontractorslist.com, The Good Contractors List. And like I said, this is a movement, and we need the help of everyone. And you know a good contractor. Share this podcast and let them know that there's a place out there that's willing to bet money on every job they do. $25,000 guarantee. So homeowners, go to thegoodcontractorslist.com and go to refer a contractor. Put that guy's name in there and we'll be doing our screening and stuff like that to make sure that they're right. But if they do actually join, we will pay $125 referral fee for every contractor that you know personally that is good that joins our group, our family. And if you're a contractor and you're like, I am that guy, I'm the guy that wants to make a difference. I want to do things right. I don't want to go to bed at night thinking that I ripped off anybody. Those are the guys that I want from every field of service: plumbers, air conditioning, electrical, landscaping, roofing, remodeling, everything that you can think of. Go to thegoodcontractorslist.com and click on Become a Good Contractor. And it gives you the details of what needs to happen. And hopefully we can create a safe contractor community in your city.
Things that you all have going on, I think is amazing. I think it's well needed throughout the nation. So everyone definitely look at his website, check it out, refer all the contractors, you know, all the contractors in North Carolina and beyond that listen to this show. Be sure to sign up. This stamp is amazing and definitely needed. So I definitely appreciate your time and sharing that with us today. Any last words you want to say to those who tune in?
I'm hoping that I inspired somebody today. You really do have a purpose. God didn't create you to live in misery. He didn't create you to take the less of everything. He wants you to experience Him in His fullness, and He wants you to be happy no matter what your situation is. So I just want to encourage people that the guy that He picked to do this did not have a resume that would have passed anybody's inspection. So don't give up. Go to Him and just find your joy in Him and what He has to offer you, and things will change for you. I promise.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you something I haven't asked no one ever on the show before. And I know you're not a sermon, a pastor, you're not prepped for this. I wanted to ask you, could we end the show in a prayer?
Of course, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Father, we thank you so much that you are God. There's no one else on this planet who is God. There's no other person on this planet who is perfect. There are people who are worshiped here because of their status. They are not God. Status does not make you any better than not having status. Father, our purpose, our identity is found in who you are, that you are the righteous one. Lord, that you have a plan for us, and the more that we lean on you and the more that we give our heart to you to do the things that you want us to do, the more that we'll see our accomplishments, the more that we'll find joy, because we're not finding the joy in the things, Lord, but in the fact that we know that we're in line with you. And Father, I pray for every person who's listening right now, Lord, that they would just stop where they are and say, forgive me for putting myself down. Forgive me for not seeing, that the things that I'm saying are hurting me, Lord, and then that they would pray that they would have full faith in you, Lord, that you would give them the faith to stand when they don't feel like moving anymore, Lord, that you would allow them to stand right now. Give them courage, give them peace, give them joy. And Lord, we just want to be able to bring you glory. Show us what that means. I pray for the person who's at that point where they may be feeling like, I'm ready to kill myself. I really don't want to be on this planet. Lord, show them purpose. Show them that things can change and that it doesn't matter what you look like before. Anything can happen when they give their life to you, Lord. And if there's somebody listening right now who feels the tug of the Holy Spirit saying, I really feel like I really need to know who this God is. God doesn't do that drawing to anyone other than the people that he really wants to come into the kingdom. And that means you. So when you feel that tug, that's the go ahead sign. And so all you have to do is at this point right now, just say, Father, forgive me. I am a sinner. I don't have everything that it takes, but I do trust and believe in your son, Jesus, who died on a cross, shed his blood so that I can have a relationship with you. And I want one. Please allow that relationship to happen. Please show me what I need to do. And Father, we'll believe that if they said that right now, if they in their heart reached out to you, that they are now saved and a follower of you. And Lord, that you are going to empower them to do everything that they need to do in life. And we give you the glory for all of it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity, man.
No problem. Thank you. Everyone, definitely tap in. I appreciate your time. Appreciate your energy. Appreciate your spirit. So to everyone out there, until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
The Highest Point Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.